study of 1 Thessalonians titled, Are You Rapture Ready? And it is a teaching that is really living in light of Christ's soon return. We are in the practical section of the book, which deals with our progressive sanctification or our daily walk as Christians. And we want to live lives that are pleasing to God. So we saw how our personal purity and how brotherly love are so very important. But today, we're going to learn about our hope and our comfort. Titus tells us in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 13, for the grace of God, well, Titus doesn't tell us this, Paul tells us this, I'm sorry. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope. What is that blessed hope? The glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. While we are living for the Lord, we should be looking for Him to return. Why is this called that blessed hope? Friend, death is our enemy. And without Christ, we all fear death, both physical and spiritual. The book of Hebrews tells us in chapter 2, verse 15, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Thank the Lord that the Lord Jesus Christ came and conquered death. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but that God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. So for those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior, we will never pay sin's penalty, which is eternal death or separation from God in the lake of fire. Amen. Jesus paid what? It all. All to Him I owe. And this is a comfort. And this is hope. But the Bible tells us there is more. We as Christians do not fear death. Why? Because we know that to be absent from the body is what? To be present with the Lord. But there is still a fear of dying. We don't want to experience the dying process. But my dear friends, there is a blessed hope. Some, when the Lord returns, and we don't know when that is, it's imminent, which means it could come at any time. Some will go directly to heaven without dying when Jesus comes for His bride. Isn't that awesome? And that's our hope. His return is imminent. It may happen at any moment. In this sin-cursed world, we need hope and comfort. And Christ gives us both. But one more thing before we progress into our text. We must know the difference between the rapture of the church and Christ's second coming. The rapture is when the church meets the Lord in the air, and we are ever with the Lord. And again, it may happen at any moment. But the second coming is when Christ returns to earth to set up His earthly millennial kingdom. The subject of the message today is the rapture of the church, or our meeting the Lord in the air. Now notice with me our text, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Very, very familiar with us. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That's a great promise that we have to look forward to. So as we look into our text, verses 13 to 15, our first point today, I think I made blanks for you to fill in, the consolation for the sorrowing. The consolation for the sorrowing. Notice the dead in Christ sleep. For I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Sleep here is figurative language for death. It is when we lay our tired old body down. Somebody needs to lay their tired young body down. But it's when we lay our tired old body down. And again, sleep is figurative language for death. In Acts chapter 7, verse 60, as Stephen is being stoned, it says this, "And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin on their charge. And when he said this, he fell asleep." He entered the Lord's presence. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, and says, "And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." So this verse, my friends, does not teach soul sleep, as some teach, but the body sleeps waiting to be awakened. There are branches within Christianity who some feel that when the body is laid in the ground, not only the body, but the soul sleeps until the Lord returns. But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, "We are confident, and I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Philippians chapter 1 and verse 23 also says this, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." Okay? So when we depart earth, if we are a believer, we are absent from our body, but we are present with the Lord. And I love what it says in Philippians, "This is far better." So for those of you who have loved ones with the Lord right now, even though we miss them, it's far better for them. It's far better. In my study this week, I found something out new that I did not know. Maybe you know this. Because most of you are smarter than me. But our English word cemetery, our English word cemetery is a late Middle English word that comes to us via the Latin from the Greek. And the Greek word koimaterium means a sleeping place. So a cemetery literally means a sleeping place. Isn't that interesting? It means a sleeping place. And I think that points more to what the Bible is talking about here. As the believer dies, he sleeps. The cemetery is where the body is laid to rest to await its resurrection. And the Bible example is that the Hebrews and Christians buried their dead. They did not cremate. They prepared the body to await its resurrection. But notice also in verse 13, not only the dead in Christ sleep, but notice that the Christian's sorrow is full of hope. In the midst of our sorrow, there is what? Hope. The latter part of verse 13 says, "That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." You know, friends, when our loved ones die, we mourn. We mourn for what we have lost, not for what our loved one has gained. Not for what our loved one has gained. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, Paul says this, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is what? Gain." So think about that. As we live for Christ. But death for us is gain. And for our loved ones who have gone on to be with the Lord, their death is gain. Yes, we mourn for what we lost, but not for what they have gained. But the Bible also tells us that there is a sting of death. When death comes, it stings. 1 Corinthians 15, 56 says, "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law." And this sting causes us sorrow. But in the midst of our sorrow, there is hope. And we praise God for that hope. We praise God. This hope, where does this hope come from? This hope springs from faith. Look at verse 14. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Notice the condition. "For if we believe." Okay? So it's conditional. So if we are believers, and if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. This phrase, "sleep in Jesus," is a beautiful phrase, rich in imagery in the original language. This phrase literally means to be put to sleep through Jesus. What a precious truth that Jesus comes and puts the believer to sleep. How many of you take your child and lay your child to sleep? How many of you wives have to come downstairs and wake your husband up as he's sleeping on the couch and bring him up to bed and put him to sleep? Now, that's not what we're talking about. But you know, understand, it's Jesus putting us to sleep. We sleep in Jesus. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the what? Death of his saints. It's a precious thing. And notice the authority of God's word. "For this we say unto you by" what? "The word of the Lord. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." The authority of the word of God. So those who have already died and those who are living, on the authority of the word of God, when Jesus comes, both will meet the Lord in the air. Prevent here means to precede or to go before. So we could read this with an expanded definition, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not go before them which are asleep. Now the Thessalonians thought that those who died would miss Jesus' return for them. So Paul had to tell them, those who sleep in Jesus, he will bring with them. They will not miss anything. And then this is explained in our second point today. And filling in the blanks, our second point, the coming of the Savior. The coming of the Savior. Verses 16 and 17. Notice the Lord's descent. Verse 16, the first part. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven." The Lord's descent. "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." John chapter 5, in verses 28 to 29, we read these words. "Marvel not, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. And they shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." And John 11:44, when notice, the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout. What will that shout be? I have an idea. But notice in John 11, verse 43, in the rising of Lazarus, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And most Bible commentators believe that Jesus had to specify which person to come forth because of the power of his voice, because anyone within the sound of his voice who was dead would have come forth if he would have just said, "Arise." So the Lord will descend, and there will be a voice from heaven. It says, he will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. Who's the archangel? Michael. Okay. We're told in Jude chapter 1, verse 9, yet Michael, the archangel. Okay. Why is he there? Why is the archangel there with the Lord when the Lord comes back? Where are we meeting the Lord? In the air. And the Bible tells us the air is Satan's domain. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, the Bible says, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power in the air, of the air. And way back in the Old Testament, in Daniel chapter 12, we see Michael there, and we see at the time of resurrection, it says in Daniel 12, 1 to 3, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Daniel is talking about a different resurrection than what we are talking about here, but Michael is there also. Because I believe the wrestling with princes and principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. And it also says, not only will the Lord descend himself with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, it says, and with the trump of God. Why a trumpet? It's probably more than likely not a trumpet like we know, but a shofar, a ram's horn that was used by the Jewish people, and it was used to call the people out of the camp to assemble them to meet God. In Exodus 19, we see this. It came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that were in the camp trembled, and Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet God. Now, I don't want to scare you, but it may sound something like this. Be prepared, okay? Actors.
My brother!
Maybe. The Lord calls, right? The Lord called. We were going to throw clothes down, but we thought that would be a little too too much. But we'll hear the Lord. We'll hear the archangel. We'll hear the trumpet. And then what will happen? The result of the Lord's descent. And it says this. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. All those believers from Pentecost till the rapture who have died. Okay? Every member of the church, every believer who has put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, whose body is sleeping in the earth, are coming with the Lord. Their souls are coming with the Lord. And their bodies, they shall rise first. And what will they do? They will meet the Lord in the air. No member of the church which is Christ's bride, will miss this event. Their spirits return with the Lord to join with their glorified bodies. Then we which who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Friends, this is our blessed hope. What does it say? We which are alive. Glorified in an instant. Go directly to heaven without experiencing death. Caught up. The phrase caught up in the Greek means to catch away. It comes from the Latin word rapturo, which we get our word rapture. A lot of times people will tell you, just like the word Trinity is not found in the Bible, the teaching is, but the word is not. The word rapture is not found in the Bible. It's a Latin word, but it means caught up, to catch away. And here is the teaching here. And notice the resulting joy. It says, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and what? So shall we ever be with the Lord. The dead in Christ, the living believers, together meet the Lord in the air, and we will always, for all eternity, be together with the Lord. Jesus told us this the night he was betrayed, when there in the upper room. Very familiar passage in John 14. The Bible tells us, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, what does it say? I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, what? There ye may be also. Isn't that a great truth? Forever with the Lord. He's preparing us a place right now. And when that place is finished, he will come for us. So this leads us to our third point, point number three, the comfort of the Scriptures. The comfort of the Scriptures. Verse 18, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Wherefore, or therefore, okay? Based upon this promise, comfort one another with these words. And the primary reason for this passage is not solely to teach, okay? But it is to bring what? Comfort. It's to bring comfort. When I have the opportunity as a pastor to do a committal service for a believer, I always read this passage because it brings us what? Comfort. To know that the one we have loved so dearly, who we are laying to rest, this is just the body, the soul and spirit is with the Lord, we know that, but this body is laid to rest to await its resurrection. And one day we will all be together with the Lord forever. And that's the comfort we have. That's the hope we have. Yes, we sorrow, but we don't sorrow those who have what? No hope. The dead in Christ shall not miss the resurrection. Matter of fact, they rise first. The living will go directly to heaven without dying. And we will all be with the Lord forever. This is comfort. You know, friends, think of all the things the Lord has done for us. Think of the hope he brings. He has taken away the fear and bondage of death. And what is death? Eternal separation from God. The wages of sin is death. The wages, what I earn. The wages of my sin is death. Separation from God forever. But Jesus died in my place. In his death, he appeased the wrath of God. In his death, in my stead, he died for me, and God accepted that sacrifice. So, for those of us who know him, we will never pay sin's penalty. So, the fear of death is taken away from the believer. When we die, we know that we will be with the Lord in heaven. Dying is a different thing. Dying, and we've all been with loved ones as they have died, and we've seen the dying process. Some die suddenly, some die over a period of time. And the dying process is not pleasant. When the physical body dies. But friends, we have hope that if the Lord comes today, we'll go directly to heaven without experiencing that. That's hope. And the scripture is the only place that gives us such hope. And that hope is only found in the Lord Jesus. A passage that is so similar to 1 Thessalonians is 1 Corinthians 15, where there's a little bit more detail explained. And in verse 51, it starts this. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. So when that trumpet sounds, when the Lord descends and that trumpet sounds, we're all going to be changed. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O grave, where is thy sting? I'm sorry, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? For the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So what do we do as we wait for this blessed day? Be steadfast. Be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Living for the Lord. Friends, we need hope in this hopeless world. This world is hopeless. This world offers no hope. G7 is going on right now, where the seven heads of the most powerful nations in the world are meeting. They offer no hope. Only Christ offers hope. We need comfort in this world that offers no comfort. What do you say to someone who's just lost a loved one? If that loved one knows the Lord, there's so much comfort. We need the victory over the sting of death in the grave, which only comes through Christ. This helps us to continue on in our Christian journey as we labor for the Lord. Because as we look around, sometimes it just seems hopeless and helpless, and there is no comfort. But there's coming a day, friend, when out of the blue, we're going to hear a voice, and we're going to hear a trumpet, and you and I, if we know the Lord, are flying through the air to meet the Lord forever. That's hope. That's comfort. My friends, do you have this hope? If you do, amen. And we'll meet the Lord in the air one day. And maybe it'll be soon. Do you know this comfort? If you don't, you have no hope. You have no comfort. And the wage of your sin is death. But I'm here today on the authority of the Lord. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Trust Jesus today. Call on him to save you. Lord, I fear death. Don't lie and don't play the big man, the big woman. Everybody without Christ fears death. Period. Give that fear to the Lord.